This is Action Podcast with Gina Baxter and Alan Wilson.
Well, hello everyone and welcome again to another Action Podcast. Today I'm delighted to welcome our very special guest, family coach pioneer Alan Wilson. Alan is the founder of Develop Your Child, which is an organisation that uses coaching and related techniques to offer self-empowerment to children, young people and parents. He's also formed the charity Every Family Matters to take his work into the community, and he has also established the concept of Family Coaching Cafe. So welcome, Alan. Welcome to Action Podcast. How are you?
Fantastic, Gina. I'm really looking forward to this. So thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today. You've been doing some fantastic work in helping parents and children to explore and develop their potential. What was your initial inspiration, Alan? Have you got children of your own?
Yes, I've got a son of 29, a daughter of 27 by one marriage and a daughter of 16 by the second marriage. And realised, particularly the first time, that I was a bit of a crap parent.
Oh.
And I think I've done a better job this time, but know that I could do an even better job now.
Mm-hmm. Is that really what led you into coaching with children? Did you go into schools at first? How did you start?
Yes, it did. Well, there were several things that happened or seemed to be synchronicity affecting me. It was partly because of my own experience that I felt that schools didn't do a very good job in preparing children for real life. And also learnt about life coaching and the possibility of building on self-esteem to create personal empowerment. So I put all of those things together and started working with children in schools. And we found that that I was given a group of what's called underachievers, but we're not supposed to say that, who actually, after the course, increased their SATs in maths and reading compared to the group that it didn't work with. So that encouraged me to work with young people, had a very similar result there in terms of creating a buddy around goal setting.
Okay.
And that at that point, I discovered that any child with a problem had a parent with a bigger problem. So I tended to then look at parents and try and help them see their children from a different perspective.
And how does a typical family coaching session work then? Could you just describe that for our listeners?
Yes. Initially, I try and get them all together. Usually the breakdown occurs through an angry teenager, and that seems to dominate the family dynamic. So on the first session, it isn't always possible to get that young person in the first session, but I ask that they're in the house because they tend to listen anyway to what's going on, or can sense that it isn't all about trying to fix them. It's about trying to create a different relationship. And before that can happen, often it's the parents that need to start looking at themselves. But it's a very sensitive area to encourage a parent to do that.
I can imagine. Do you find much resistance from the parents to actually exploring themselves? Because it means they're going to be quite vulnerable, doesn't it?
That's right. Generally, I think you're a coach as well, aren't you, Gina?
I am.
So you find that anyone starting to look at themselves starts to feel uncomfortable because they're starting to step out of their comfort zone to do something different.
Sure.
And parents are no different, except that they carry a huge guilt gene, and almost anything they do is wrong for themselves and their children.
So the parents are putting enormous pressure on themselves, and often finding it very, very difficult to communicate, I would imagine. Certainly I remember from my own childhood, but the children today, I notice I've got a 7 and a 9-year-old niece and nephew, and they are so sensitive and so awake that they find it very difficult to find common ground with their own parents, who are more emotionally shut down. Have you found similar scenarios in your work?
You've hit the nail on the head, Gina. That's exactly where the challenge occurs, because children are so sensitive emotionally, physically and psychically, and parents don't have those abilities, or if they did have, they've now lost them, because through culture, society and academia, we're forced to live through the head rather than through the feelings and the sensing. And children, up until, I don't know what age, it depends, but certainly when they're young and born, they're pure energy. And they, I mean, you never see a baby anything but happy and exploring and having fun.
True.
But what happens is they start to be closed down by the parents or society forcing behaviours on them that isn't natural to them. So they tend not to trust their natural feelings and emotions and sensitivity, to the point that by the time they're teenagers, they lose connection with adults, because generally adults don't respect them, listen to them or value them. And unfortunately, children or young people start to look to their peers to support them, and their peers are equally floundering the same. So that I think the challenge really is for parents to get a certain amount of emotional intelligence so that they can understand where the children are coming from and actually hear the wisdom and the beauty that these children have. Goodness, I've gone on a bit there, haven't I?
No, that's beautifully put, Alan, because I've seen it myself in my own family, and I see it around, and it's quite heartbreaking. A lot of these kids feel that they're not accepted by expressing their true selves.
Exactly, and when they go to school, because of the packed curriculum, they can't even ask questions in secondary school, so there isn't enough time. And so when do children express themselves? When they're teenagers, you know, they're compressed and totally disenfranchised with the school system and most adults that want to try and create academic sausages out of them.
Exactly. And often the parents feel challenged by the wisdom of the children and don't like to be wrong-footed. And likewise in schools, the education system is Victorian. It's totally unsuited to the kind of children that are being born now and going through our system, because they are, as far as I can see, so awake. This whole school system is so boring for them. And that's why we constantly hear, I'm bored, it's boring, and they're out on the street knifing each other.
You're so right. And, well, it's a fantastic observation, Gina. Thank you for sharing that.
It's just there's so much work to be done and so many children out there that really need a lot of help. But as you say, they are living with parents, and we need to work with the parents first. But if there's resistance, it's pretty tough. What do you do when you find yourself banging your head against a brick wall like that?
Well, the first thing I tell parents is that they're perfect parents, which really shocks them because they don't think they are. And I say they're perfect parents because they've come for help. Parents are doing the best they can with what they know. And it's really challenging to tell them that their children actually have so much wisdom and knowledge and gems to share with the adults and the parents. But the parents and adults aren't able to hear them because they're not listening from that perspective. So my whole approach is to try and get parents to see the magnificent children so that they can start to see that these behaviours that they're labelling as being challenging are actually the children trying to express themselves through total frustration.
Yes, absolutely. It is. They're blocked. There's nowhere at school to express it, and they can't express it at home. So it's just internalized.
That's right.
And repressed, really.
I think there's somebody told me that a toddler is told no 400 times a day and yes 20 times a day. So you can understand by the time they're teenagers, they don't believe they can do anything, let alone express themselves.
It's shocking, really. Is
It
this
is.
what you mean? You talk on your website, and we'll give listeners the address for that later. You're talking about the importance of energetic connection. Is this what you mean? This using the intuition and communicating more intuitively between parent and child?
Absolutely. I think we coined the phrase energetic connection as a generic, really, because there's so many aspects to energy, and for those that are more aware, we're all energy. And in terms of expressing energy, it can be intuition, sensing, knowing, sixth sense, gut feeling. Just trusting yourself is extremely important, but sometimes people don't trust these senses because they feel it's wrong. So they go against what they believe is right. So a lot of our work is to try and encourage parents to understand that there is a different way forward. And when they, I think Dr. Tanya Byron, I don't know how many people know about her, but she did a House of Tiny Tearaways. She's done loads of parenting programs, but she said she's not doing any more because parents are inundated with information. What we need to do is empower them to trust their instincts, which is exactly what we're talking about. You are the only person that has the quality and connection to your children. Nobody else can tell you. People can give you scripts and strategies. If they do this, you do that. But what about when they don't? Where do you go then?
Exactly. It's not about following rules, but
It's.
how can you encourage parents who perhaps are more emotionally closed down and feel threatened by their children expressing their emotion? How can you encourage parents to let go of that, which is years upon years of controlled and learnt habitual behaviour?
Yes, our core curriculum covers the power of thought. So we encourage parents to realize that they can actually change their feelings and emotions by changing their thought. So when they realize that, they can change their thoughts. Sorry, they can change anything in that thought circle by changing their thought. They're creating their own reality as well. And then we cover levels of listening, and that's where we talk about energetic connection. But it starts off with just purely listening actively and develops into energetic connection.
And what do
And
you
then,
mean? Sorry, Alan, what do you mean by active? Because many listeners may not know what that
okay,
means.
sorry. What I mean by active or power listening is when you're going to get a bit of juicy gossip. All your receptors are up, and it shows in your body language, in your physiology, and sensing, and you're ready to listen to every in. Oh, sorry, what's the word?
With every fiber of your being, you can.
Perfectly put, even better than the word I was trying to find.
I know what you
So
mean.
you're actually able to get a much deeper connection with someone from that perspective. So if you can then accept that there's another level again, that when you can trust the sensing that you're getting, and that really happens very powerfully when there's actually you're in the room with your child, and you can tell more from the silence than you can from the words. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes, it does.
And so when parents start to realize that there is something else going on between them and their children, and the real cruncher is when you say to a parent, do you know your children know what mood you're in before you enter the room? There's a green light goes on because they've all experienced that. They don't understand how kids can do it. So when they understand that there is that process or the possibility, because that's all it is about being open to the possibilities of a different outcome or expectation, then they realize that there's more to a communication than just the words or the pictures. It's all about the feeling, and it's all about the quality of the relationship you have. Parents try and control their kids, and when they can let that go and accept that the best they can do is influence their children, and that comes down to the quality of the relationship, they can start to work on the quality of the relationship to open up the connection.
Absolutely. And it seems to me very, very important, as with all of us, to establish a deeper connection with ourselves as
Critical. Yeah, absolutely. That's the nail on the head, because until we're comfortable within ourselves, we can't actually be open to seeing the beauty in our children.
Absolutely. It is a tough one for many people, because it does bring up so many, I think, issues for lots of people. It takes tremendous courage, I know, in my own experience, to change and transform and move through, difficult areas, really. And
quite right.
We need help. It's not something that we can do on our own. So it's fantastic that there are people like you out there who are pioneering this great work with families. It's absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Do you have any books or CDs or anything that you've produced that people could actually buy, Anne?
Yeah, I've got a book called Listen to Your Children, and They Will Listen to You. And that's a life coaching program for parents, and it helps build self-esteem and confidence in their children as well as themselves, and to give them some clarity on where they are in their life and what's important to them.
Fantastic.
And I've also got a DVD, which is Kids Are Really Different These Days. And it's really giving some examples of children that have been supported to explore and express themselves, and shows how and why we need to review our parenting and education systems.
That sounds wonderful. And how can people get in touch with you, Alan? What's your website address?
The website is www.developyourchild.com.
Okay. So it's www.developyourchild.com. Great. And what about email? Do you have an email they can email you on, or is your email address on the website?
It is on the website. It's alan@developyourchild.com.
Okay, fantastic. And just, we're coming towards the end of the talk. I could really talk for hours with you on this subject.
Me too.
it's just wonderful. And it's just great to have you on the show. Thank you. If we can just leave our listeners with maybe one or two tips, really, things that they can do as soon as they've, closed down their computer and are with their children. What powerful things can they start doing straight away? Two or three things that you would advise parents to do?
No particular order, but really it's the quality of listening and being open to see the magnificence in their children. For me, that's number one. But any interaction that brings a quality connection to your children is really important. But that's also linked to looking after yourself, because most parents are running around trying to earn a living or trying to keep the house together. They don't look after themselves, but they are the fulcrum in the family, and particularly for mums to actually try and look after themselves and overcome the feeling and discomfort of being selfish. It isn't being selfish at all. You're looking after yourself so you can do the best possible job. And that does make sense.
Absolutely. That's just beautifully put, Alan, and so important. I think for a lot of parents, they run ragged, really, just trying to maintain a home and work and look after the family, especially for mums.
Yeah.
It's tough. And
it is.
They do need a lot of support. So
absolutely.
Bless you for doing all your work. And thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure, Alan.
I've really enjoyed it, Gina, and you are an awesome interviewer. Thank you for those lovely questions and the opportunity to share what we do.
It's a pleasure, Alan. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Take care. Bye now.